listeners. We're back, Breaking Bread in Napa, with your host, Tyreen Peterman. So excited to be here. We were here for the Valentine's Day weekend, so we want to roll through a couple of restaurant experiences, a winery that we're going to focus on today. But all in all, it's been a wonderful weekend. Everything's so green and lush in the valley right now. It's just, it's amazing. And it's not so crowded right now, too. Even though we're here with a long holiday weekend, a lot of the Bay Area locals came up, but it's still, you know, it's not the high tourist season yet right now. So it's really nice, intimate. We're spending a little bit more time at the wineries, getting to know folks. So all in all, a great time to visit the Napa Valley, even though it is winter here, but just gorgeous, just gorgeous. So we're going to start off on Friday night, which is really cool. We went downtown Napa. It was happening. It was, you know, hustling, bustling. And we had reservations at a restaurant called Carpe Diem, the day, but it's been there for years. I moved out here, as you folks know, probably about a decade ago, actually a little bit over a decade, almost 15 years now. I can't believe it. And this restaurant's always been there, packed all the time. I mean, did good through COVID. I mean, just a really consistent, loyal, local following. So I would highly recommend it if you come to the Valley and you're downtown Napa. It's a really good place. So we wanted to just talk about a little about the experience, what we ate there. All in all, man, it was just a really nice, pleasant evening. My friend, we got friends from the pod here. We've got Josephine back again. Say hey to the listeners, Josephine.
Hi, everyone.
And for our first-time podcaster here, JoJo's husband, Jimmy Diaz, say hey to the listeners.
Hey to the listeners, man. This is Jersey speaking.
All right. We love Jersey. And a friend of the pod who's been on several times now, we love her to death, Patty.
Yo, it's me, Patty. I'm here to love you in any way I can.
All right. awesome. Okay, so we're going to just talk a little bit about the menu that we had on Friday night. Real quick, we don't want to spend too much time, but we do wanted to give him a shout out because it was a really great experience. We brought a really nice bottle of wine, Learner Project 2019. You all know that.
It was a 16.
No.
Oh, 19. You're right.
No, it was a 16.
16. Ooh, that's right. Good call, Jimmy. Good call. And I know, JoJo, you are a fan of older wine, so I did choose that wisely. But we brought it to the restaurant, no big deal. I don't even think they charged us a corkage fee. It was nominal. Whatever it was nominal. No big deal. So we had this fabulous bottle of wine. I started out with the mushroom soup. Oh, my God. The mushroom soup, I mean, it was phenomenal. It was amazing. Wouldn't you say, Jimmy? I mean, come on.
You know, I'll say this, you know. A lot of times when you make reservations around Valentine's Day, you know, your expectation, if you're more experienced in this, it's not very high. And I went there with very low expectations. And I'm going to tell you what, that mushroom soup was, I'm telling you, to die for.
It was perfection.
You know, and it's funny because I think we had like a 7 o'clock reservation. We showed up at like 6:45. And by like 7 o'clock, I'm like, bitching that, you know, we don't have a seat. And my wife,
cranky.
Josephine, my lovely wife, Josephine, next to me. And she reminded me, it's only 3. It's only 7. You know, we...
On Valentine's Day.
I'm not that. So I actually went in there a little bit hot. And I'm telling you what, they delivered.
What was so good about the soup? What?
The consistency was like, it was like there was no ups, you know, lumps or anything.
It was like a puree.
Yeah, but perfected. Yes. A little bit of cream, wouldn't you say? It was a little creamy too, right? It was creamy. It was definitely creamy.
The whole experience was amazing.
And you ordered the Valentine's Day prefix. Tell us about the prefix.
So I got a soup and a salad for me. And then I got the salmon and a lava cake. And it was lava cake. No one wanted it.
The chocolate lava cake. Oh, yeah. And with that 2016 bottle of Learner Project, it was outstanding.
Yeah, but let's get to the bones of this. I mean, I had the pork chop.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and I know everybody in Napa, all the great places, everybody has a great pork chop, Berkshire pork chop or whatever. But I'm going to have to tell you, they delivered. I mean, it was so spot on. They nailed it. You know what I mean? And, you know, everybody makes a pork chop up here, so you have to really dial it in. And I have to say that they
dialed in. A lot of competition.
You know,
what was it about it? Was it moist? Was it saucy? Was it mushroomy?
It was perfect.
You know what you have to do? It has to be cooked to perfection. Yeah. And they cooked it to perfection. Like so many times when you have a pork chop, it can be a little bit dry. That's not how you want a pork chop. They just delivered such a flavor and just perfectly cooked that it just was out of this world, honestly.
Okay. All right. And the close here right now, this is a quality value restaurant right downtown Napa. You're not breaking the bank.
I was surprised. I wasn't ready for this. I went there saying, okay.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have bar food or whatever, you know. And no, man.
Great experience.
Over-delivered.
Great experience.
What was your price point?
Oh, I would say the entree was I think your entree was what, $28?
Yeah, maybe? $20 to $35. I think that's what it was. Yeah. You know?
And usually you're paying
$42.
Not
bad on Valentine's Day.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
I had the four course Valentine's Day meal. It was like $69.
That's right. That's
amazing.
And that burrata kicked ass. That burrata kicked ass. Come on.
Okay. It did. The burrata, that was the appetizer you guys got. You're right. We were all over that burrata. Love it. Okay, so again, downtown Napa, it's just like a really super casual place. We had a booth. We were loving the booth. It was happening, hustling, bustling, and, you know, just for a really good quality, you know, meal at, you know, you're not breaking the bank so much as some of the other restaurants, certainly, that you could in downtown Napa. All right, so listeners, we're moving on now. We've got a really an amazing tasting that we had at Foreman Winery. Just really awesome. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about the background of the vineyard. It's a small family-owned vineyard. Rick Foreman is proprietor. He started it in 1983, so the early 80s, as a sole proprietor. And just really stayed true to his focus is really French style, Bordeaux style type of winemaking. They only make two wines. They make a Chardonnay and then they make the Cabernet, which was outstanding.
He does not like woodpeckers.
Funny experience. We went to the winery. This was yesterday. And as we were leaving, Rick Foreman, he's in his 80s now. Great guy, handsome guy, by the way. Handsome guy, yeah. Check it out. Go on the website. Really good looking guy. And he's got a shotgun in his hand and we're trying to exit the property. And he was brilliant.
It was a great story, man. It's a great story. But we'll continue.
Okay.
I had to say that.
Yeah, you had to say it. The woodpecker, of course. All right. So we're tasting today. Look, let me tell you, the host, Gabe Gultz. So lo and behold, I get an email the night before, right? And just to confirm our reservations. And I'm like, yeah. And then they announced that Gabe Gultz, he is a new host at the winery. And we were going to have him for our winery. We know Gabe from over at Faust Winery. And he was so good. He always took care of us. We loved his service level.
He's a freaking encyclopedia.
In an encyclopedia. this guy, I'm going to have him on the podcast for sure. I mean, he spent, you know, after university, he worked for Four Seasons for 30 years, and it was all over the world. So the guy he's done it. So a wealth of information, couldn't be more down to earth, south of the earth kind of guy. Just really wonderful. And then so he took care of us. We just he moved from Faust and he was our host. And just to say a little bit about Foreman Winery, you all know that I'm from Chicago originally, and JoJo and Jimmy, they also are living in Chicago and spent, you know, decades with them hanging out. And then I moved out west. But we had the Randolph Winery that we would go to, like, you know, if we were heading downtown to the club or going out to dinner, we would always hit up the Randolph Winery. We loved it. It was like a two-story roof deck, a brownstone. And you could see downtown.
In Chicago?
In Chicago, yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And so they introduced me to Foreman Wine. I mean, that was probably like in the mid 2000s that we were drinking that wine. And that was the only place. You couldn't get it at any of the local BevMo or Binnie's or whatever, only at the Randolph Winery. So I always wanted to check out that wine. I knew it was a Napa Valley wine, but just never had the opportunity. And then we were getting together and trying to plan out a week at Valentine's weekend. And I'm like, let's go to Foreman. And so this was our first, you know, introduction to the actual, the winemaker. And then our wonderful host, Gabe, also just happened to transfer over to the other winery from Faust, which is where we know him from. So just a great tee up, great experience. Walked in. I mean, and this is at the top of Howl Mountain. So Howl Mountain is probably about maybe, I think it's about 17 miles north of Napa. So going straight up 29 up the valley north. So it's about 17 miles from where we are. And then you take Silverado Trail up there, and then you cut over to Howl Mountain Road, and then you actually go almost to the top. We were pretty high elevation. I mean, there was at one point when we were driving up on this road, the truck was so straight up, we couldn't see. Are we going this way? Are we going that way?
Is it a cliff or what?
Exactly. What? I'm like, we're going to pull Thelma and Louise here. I don't know where this road is going. Where did you?
I always wondered if, you know, who's got the right of way. There's always an argument. I think it's the people coming down have the right of way, and they do have. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
So if there's any listeners here that know that answer, please plug in. It'd be great.
Let us know.
Let us know because
you need one there.
The winery is beautiful, and that turn is crazy. Said to Jimmy, I said, stop. We are not driving down there. That's not where we have to go. And then we went down there, but it's not, I think it's like almost like toward the bottom. It's not high up.
No, it's not high
up. For Howl Mountain. Yeah. Then there's Cade.
The beginning of the
ridge. Actually, it's a mountain ridge. Yes. We're on a ridge. Yes. We're on the ridge.
It's below. It's not high up.
No, you're right. You're right. It's just like the way that the terrain. It was crazy. The ridge. It's a ridge. It's a ridge on the Howl Mountain side.
It's gorgeous.
It's spectacular. The views you would never see unless you went here. I mean, just outstanding, breathtaking in a lot of ways. And another little nugget on that mountain ridge. Is a 300 million old riverbed. So that is like this wine that we're going to taste. We're tasting a 2017. You can't get those flavors anywhere. I mean, it's a 300 million year old riverbed that the vineyard sits on top of. So it's like stressing the vines, you know, pulling water from a 300 million old. I mean, the flavors are just incredible. Yeah.
Tyreen, I got an interesting story to tell you.
All right. Tell the listeners.
You know, and it's a great one. You know, so Joe and I, my wife, we showed up early. And I think the reservation was at like
1 o'clock. Okay, 1 o'clock.
Well, we were like 30 minutes early. And beautiful view. You come into the winery. You go past the owner's, you know, home on the left. And you come on down and you wrap around. So we park behind it. We do like a little U-turn because we figured the way out of here later on, you don't want to have to try to do it.
No, negotiate that crap.
So it's great. So Joe and I, we pull up and we do that U-turn and we park behind some parked car there. And we open up the windows and there's like a little creek, like a river.
Yeah,
like you can hear it.
Yeah, and, it was beautiful.
And Joe's like, hey, let's just take a little nap. She's
like, meditation.
No, she's right. You're right. So this is great. So we're there with 20 minutes early. We're waiting for you all. And Jojo puts in this video, like some tape, a meditation tape. And we're listening to the river. We have the windows open and we actually pass out. Like we go to sleep. So I'm like, I'm having the greatest sleep of my life. And like, it was probably 15 minutes.
And then also, Gabe walks up.
And Gabe walks up knocking on the window.
Power nap for dead.
And I'm like, yes, we're meditating. And then he goes, how many wineries were you here before? I go, none. It's my first tasting in the day. We had lunch at R&D Kitchen, which is amazing too. Oh, Jimmy, tell me about your sandwich at R&D Kitchen.
I'll give a plug there. That is... you know,
it's a plug worth giving. Yeah,
as much as we love, you know, Running for Grill or whatever, this RH kitchen is phenomenal. R&D. It is, I'm telling you what, it's worth.
Oh my God. Okay, so Gabe's knocking on the window. You guys startle and like wake up.
Thank God we weren't up to any bad news there.
It is Valentine's Day.
I was like, Oh, thank God he didn't catch us doing anything. Hanky panky, right? Hanky panky.
Like, excuse me, are you here? I said, yes. Oh, yeah. We're just meditating.
And then shortly, then you guys went into the barrel room. Didn't you guys go into the cave? You guys went into the cave a little bit.
You know, we were waiting for you all, and you didn't show up. And he's like,
you guys were early. We were
we
on
showed
time.
Up.
We were don't like half hour release. Like I said, we were taking a nap. We went there for a nappy. We were at nappy time.
On Napa time.
Yes. Nappy time in Napa time. But anyway, so he's like, they're not here. Let me take you up through our caves. And he's like, we're not like, it's a working cave. It's not like a beauty cave. Like you go through like, Del Dado's or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they got pictures and chandeliers and you walk through those caves and it's like a Mona Lisa.
Yeah. It's for show. A lot
it's
of
for
show. Yeah.
This was not for show.
No, this is a working
this
thing
is a working cave deep down there. I mean, and you know what? There was some good to it. You know what I mean? It was kind of see something like that.
Charm.
You know?
It's the charm. It is the charm.
It's not pretty, but it's like I said, you feel like a blue collared person working through there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coming from the Jersey boy.
Right there.
But Gabe is salt of the earth.
Right?
Gabe is
salt of the earth,
awesome.
The best. Like, amazing.
If you do decide to go there, absolutely. Gabe will take care of you. And then you can even email us here at the podcast and we'll hook you up for sure. I mean, he is just amazing. You'll have the best experience for a small family-owned vineyard who really, I mean, it's the guy, Rick Foreman. It's the passion. You can just really, it's not about commercial at all. So if you're looking for that type of experience and an amazing location and just really, you know, just small,
and a completely
boutique,
private tasting for up to 8 people with for like Bordeaux blend, amazing wines.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. All right, listeners. So before we jump in, we're going to taste the 2017 Foreman, but before we jump in, I'm going to pass it over to Patty because this was something that I wanted to talk to some of the listeners about is if you come to Napa or, I mean, you want to become a member of some of the wineries that you experience, we want to, you know, give you some pointers to consider before you join a winery, just to think about. Heaven knows we belong to so many wineries, so we really know the clubs and what's the good service you're going to get and what type of experience you're looking for. So we've done a lot of research in that area, but it just so happened that Patty was looking to join a new winery, and so she was, you know, in the market, and she's going to let us know what some of the finer points that you should consider before joining a winery. Patty, over to you.
Sure. So just so you know, I am... There was a point in my life, probably about 15, 16 years ago. Yeah, I was laid off and I was living with my parents and I had I had a good chunk of change and I decided to join about 5 wineries. And I was new at this. I went and tasted the wines. My cousin and I would go out. We did Chimney Rock. We did a few places. And I decided to join a few wineries, and I had about 5 of them, and all of a sudden, I'm getting wine shipments like nobody's business. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going crazy. I'm one person trying to deal with 5 different wineries, and they were all great wines, and I loved them and everything like that. And then there came a point where I got a job. I bought a house. So cash flow became an equation, part of the equation. I thought, okay, wait a minute. I need to scrutinize and figure out which wineries do I really want to continue to be a member of? And that's when I got into this whole thing. Okay, what is a winery to me? And this was probably about 2010, 2011. And I went through this whole process of downsizing my 5 to 1. And I thought, okay, what do I want in one winery? That wine club membership. And I focused on, I was able to divest 4 of them. And the one that I ended up with was very family oriented. Okay, first of all, threshold number 1 are the wines good. Okay, I'm a red wine person and I love the Silverado Trail and I love the robust reds, but I like the Pinots too. And so I ended up landing on one that was, I'll mention, is Silverado Winery, owned by the Diane Disney and her husband, and it was a phenomenal winery. I love that winery. And as a member, I was treated like I was very, I was I felt like part of the family. I mean, they brought me in. I was, you know, my mother would come. We'd come for tastings. I could send friends without me to the tastings, and they would respect the protocol of the membership. And as a matter of fact, of course, every time I sent friends, friends bought their wine. So it was very symbiotic in the sense that, you know, I was on their marketing team. At the same time, they were on my family team, right? And so I loved it because I felt like, okay, this is working. I, you know, we support them. They support me. And we went, and I stuck with Silverado forever.
It's interesting you say that because I actually do love Silverado. I'm not a member there. Their wines are fantastic.
They're fantastic
wines. And I'll say this, you know, and I think Tyreen can back me here because I would say about 6 months ago or whatever, it was last year, but I remember it being cold. And Tyreen and I did a surprise visit because they'll do like walkings. And
yeah,
we did
that's
a walk.
A good Yeah.
You remember this. In. So we did a walk in at Silverado, and it's like our expectations were so low. It's just like, what?
It was almost like Friday happy hour.
You know,
right?
You know, we're in a car having a good time. We're just like, well, let's go, you know. So anyway, we go in, and I'm going to tell you what, I will say that I love their repertoire wines. Like they have Malbecs, and they have Merlots, and they have Cabernet Franc. So they have like, a little bit of everything. So I feel like they're like, you know, like they're like the jack of all trades in a way. You know what I mean? Like they have
like
all these.
You like the wines, right?
I think the wines are very
then
good.
Love you. Oh, I love you.
Let him close his point.
All right.
So you would recommend a visit, Jimmy, to Silverado?
I think it's a great experience.
On a wine basis.
Yeah, just a pop in there for a tasting. You're on Silverado.
Let me tell you
something.
You don't
need a reservation.
If I was coming to Napa and I hadn't been there,
the venue's gorgeous.
I think it is.
Yeah, you're on the hill.
It's a go to great place.
You're right there in Stagsleep. You're looking at everything.
Their wines are good. And you know what? Let me, the most important thing is it's not overpriced.
No. Oh, no.
Let's not kid ourselves here. So the average person can go to Silverado and just walk out there feeling really good about them.
Okay, there you go. That's a good plug. All right, Patty, take us through the wine decision.
So
why did you decide to join Foreman?
Okay, so Tyreen and I have cultivated this friendship over the last few years, and I was looking at, you know, Silverado got acquired by family.
Oh, okay, so
Foley
they
family
sold.
Distributors. They sold
to a distributor. Okay,
and the people who were in charge of the wine club membership divested as well. And it wasn't the same connection. I didn't have that same personal connection with them. So at one time when, you know, I was trying to send friends up there like I had in the past and everything was symbiotic.
So they were shutting it down.
They shut it down. Yeah, and I was okay, I think I need to rethink about, I got to go back to what I value in a club membership,
sure.
A wine membership.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the same time, like I mentioned, Tyreen and I were cultivating this relationship. And I'd come up and visit, and we'd go to different wineries and want things like that. And she brought me to a few, and I think, hey, would this be fun to join? Da, da, da. I'm looking for that family thing. They had some phenomenal events and things like that. And I could tell by Tyreen's reaction that, okay, yes, no, maybe so. And I kind of went on her vibe. Well, then yesterday we went to Foreman, and like everything that these guys had said, about Gabe and the small, very tight, very intimate surrounding was right there. It landed in my lap, and I go, "Oh, this is the family vibe.
This is
no commercialism. This is they look at you, they say, hey, we think we know what you like, but you know what? If you want to go another path, go another path. And we are very flexible in how we would negotiate a membership." And when I say that, I don't mean to sound financial or you know, by the book or anything like that. It's a relationship. You give them money, they give you wine. But there's a freaking lot more to it than that. It is feeling part of the family. It is, hey, you know, you don't want this wine? Well, we can adjust. We can give you discounts here. We can give you discounts there. Because guess what? When you give me discounts here and discounts there, I'm going to bring more friends.
And you're going to buy more wine.
And you're going to buy more wine. So we're back to that symbiotic, familial relationship where it's not about the money. It's about the relationship. And the money just happens to work out at the end of the day is my suspicion.
So, darling, what you're talking about is the old school.
Yeah.
Like the way it used to be 20, 30
I don't have to pay $75 for a tasting.
Thank you.
I show up, they give me their wines. If their wines are good enough, I'll buy them and I'll join your club and the rest is history. And that's what I'm looking for in a membership.
Actually, Gabe said there's no tasting fee. But if no one take advantage of that though, okay?
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now.
And that's it. You know, and the people, I have to tell you, first of all, to get up the top of that hill, you got to want it.
Yeah.
You want it.
There's a journey there.
And that's half the excitement because you get up there jazzed. Yeah, and you're like, okay, you're this like, better be some damn good wine.
And
oh, by the
it
way,
it delivers.
We're drinking it right now. And so, it's a very good
all right.
balance so on the palate.
We tasted what they had in 2019.
I wanted the 2019, but we couldn't get it. So we had the 21 and the 17.
The 20 and the 17.
Oh, 20. Yeah, 21, 20, and the 17. Yeah. But listeners, and we'll give you our feedback on the 20 and the 21. But we're tasting live here the 2017, which is amazing, phenomenal. So with that, that's a great segue. Let me just jump into, okay, so this is the 2017 Rick Foreman winery. It was a great vintage. There was some definitely big heat spikes during that summer, and he noted that in the winemaker's notes. And what does that mean to the wine? That means that it really stresses the Cabernet grapes, and it's like you're really going to get a really dense, you know, really juicy. It's going to be a deep taste of the fruit.
Ibricks.
Probably low yields, but great wine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, precisely. So again, as we started out, Rick Foreman, he likes the Bordeaux style of wine, and what does that mean? That means that it's a part Cabernet, part Merlot, Malbec. Petit Verdot, but Cab Franc it could be, but I'm going to give you the breakdown here of our blend. This is 78% Cab Sauvignon, and it's also 6% Cab Franc, 4% Petit Verdot, and it's about 5% Merlot. So it's got Cab Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Merlot. So it was aged for about 22 months in 70% new barrels and 30% once used Bordeaux, so French oak barrels. So
now I think if you're over 75%, it's a cab.
Like, you can call it a cab.
You call it a cab.
Call it a cab?
It is, but you're exactly right. It's like a Bordeaux type of style. Phenomenal.
Okay. All right. So just to read a couple of the winemaker's notes on here. Beautiful aromas, the bouquet, blueberries, lungenberries on there, blackberries. So let's just smell that. So all right. How was the Patty, how was that first sip that you just took?
I get, well, on the nose, I got a tangy cherry. I did not get a black cherry. I got a tangy cherry, and maybe even a bordering on cranberry. But then when I took it on the, I get a little bit of saline. I get a little bit of the raspberry. And I don't get tanniny. I'm not getting the tanniny sucker pucker factor.
No.
I'm getting the very smooth. But dry.
It is dry. The finish is dry. The finish
the
is dry.
Yeah, the finish is dry, but
not
it's not
overly dry.
It's not sucking
overly.
Your mouth
yeah,
dry.
Yeah,
it's a little dry, but it's not tanniny.
No.
And I think it's a good time to crack this bottle.
I think
actually,
so too.
It's not overwhelmingly sweet
or fruity.
Just the right balance.
Yeah.
Of the dark fruits.
All right, Jimmy. Over to you. How did you like the 2017?
Oh, it's, you know, when I look at wines, it's like, I want to make love to this wine.
Oh my God.
No, and I want you guys to understand that.
Understanding,
this is not a pornographic thing or whatever, but when I take this glass. I'm going to tell you what. You just want to make love to that wine. I think it's a great wine. I think this 2017, and I've had the 21 and 20. They're all good. Let me tell you, it's all good wines. But this 2017 special. I mean, I'm telling you what. You just, it's like you eat it. You bite it. You love it. You massage it.
Wow.
It's a very good wine.
I have something to say.
Okay.
So I really hope this podcast doesn't blow up that big. The Forum Wine's going to be like, three times what it is today because the wine is amazing.
Yeah.
The wine's great.
Oh my God. Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah.
The wine's a great price point.
Oh my God. Price
this wine,
point.
I mean, the 2017, great price point. And
they're charging $300 a bottle for something like this. And this is
anywhere else.
And at this price point, because Patty became a member, we got a discount on it. So I think we're at 108 for this.
No,
140. Not, 140 was it?
I 140. Think this is 175.
No, but we got the discount.
And then 20% off.
Yeah. Exactly. 140.
17.
We kind of went into it from a co-op perspective. Yeah. You know, the membership, 12 bottles, and that's a lot for one person. I'm a single person. And drinking 12 bottles of wine with all the other, you know, bottles of wine I got in the refrigerator, it's a challenge. So it's good to share with friends. That joined you in that tasting are a part of it.
All right. So, all right, listeners, with that, any final comments about any of the experience this weekend?
I will
all
say
all right, Jimmy,
that,
over to you, man. What do you got?
No, I'm just saying, in a forum, it was a great experience.
Yeah.
I think it was special.
It was total family. Total family.
But the most important thing is, like, when you go to these tastings, you just want to just feel special. And I just really felt special. When you go to a tasting, you need an experience. And I think they delivered a great experience without compromising how good their wines were.
We were sitting at a family table where you would sit a family of eight for dinner. And that was what I felt like. And bring on the pasta, bring on the bring on the cannelloni, bring it all on.
Yep.
I mean, we could have, it was a beautiful venue.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Right. It's a great experience. Thank you.
Awesome. Jojo, you want to give a final parting note here?
Forman Winery is fabulous. Be careful going there in and out. Like, make it sure it's your first tasting booth.
Yeah,
like,
first tasting of the day.
Drive
yeah.
off
yeah.
the cliff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then be like, Thelma Louise.
Or
like,
get a driver. Get a driver.
Totally get a driver there. This is not where you want to go before you've had any cocktails.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a little dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. This is an early morning.
It scared me, Boo. It scared me.
Yeah. All right, listeners, with that, thank you so much. We had a wonderful Valentine's weekend up here in the Valley, and hope you learned a few things about joining a winery, what to look for, what's important. And with that, we're taking it out. So take care, and until we talk again.